What's the difference between a terrorist and a hero? You know, if they're both blowing innocent people up. Well, the only difference is the hero is on our side. The hero's in an army. A terrorist doesn't have an army. But they're still blowing people up. They're still dropping bombs or planting bombs. They're still shooting people from rooftops. So what's the difference? If you accept this idea that you have to include the historical context and that including it changes the value of these different things, then in most cases, the terrorists are right. Because the soldiers are working for the oppressive government that's occupying the land. I mean, definitely the terrorists in the Middle East are right because they're shooting at Americans who have no fucking business being in their country, who've invaded and occupied their country and killed unknown hundreds of thousands of innocent people in their country, dropping bombs everywhere and leaving their radioactive bullets strewn all over the fucking place forever. Well, then those guys have every right to blow our guys up. They're not terrorists, right? So if you accept this, well, you got to look at the historical context, then it leads you into a rat hole where you can't just say it's wrong to kill innocent people. I don't give a fuck who's doing it. Since this episode is about history, let's talk about how this pertains to the greatest liberation movements of the 20th century, which are arguably the end of British control of India, spearheaded by Gandhi, Nelson Mandela, and the end of apartheid in South Africa, and the civil rights movement in the United States. What do all three of those things have in common? I would argue that what all three of them have in common is that the leadership understood and leveraged the power of renunciating violence as opposed to renunciating those who are using violence against them. In other words, Gandhi is against colonialism, not just this particular case of colonialism where the British are raping the subcontinent. Nelson Mandela is against apartheid, against that sort of racial segregation and exploitation of people, not particularly against the Boers or against de Klerk or whomever is in power at that particular moment. And the civil rights movement, Martin Luther King, is looking at that and saying, okay, what we're against is racism. We're against forced segregation. We're against the fact that blacks are subhuman in this society, that blacks are not receiving the same rights and the same benefits as everyone else, and you're treating us as if we don't deserve those rights. We're against that behavior, those institutions. It's not about us versus these particular white people, because we're going to die, they're going to die. The whole thing's, it's like a whirlpool. The water keeps changing, but the pattern remains, and it's the pattern that's the problem, not the individuals who make up that pattern. And until we understand that, I think we're powerless to really make any great insights or great changes in history. And one of the really interesting things about those movements, if you look at Nelson Mandela, you look at Gandhi, you look at Martin Luther King, all three of them were inspired and motivated, and we could even say that their thinking was in many ways triggered by a single essay called Civil Disobedience by Henry David Thoreau. Now, you probably have heard of him as the guy who wrote Walden. In the 1840s, he wandered off into the woods and lived alone in a cabin by Walden Pond for a year and wrote a book about it. He's sort of seen as the one of the progenitors of this individualism, and he was also a real kind of hippie in his own way. His idea was, I want to understand life. I'm young. I think he was in his 20s when he did this, and he's like, okay, I want to really understand life before I get caught up in all these traps and all this bullshit and, you know, the job and the wife and the kids and the nightmare, the complete nightmare, as somebody called it. Before I get caught up in that, I want to really look at my life. I want to reduce it to its simplest elements. I think he said something like, I want to drive it into a corner and really look at it. And then when I've looked at it, then I'll make the decisions on how I live my life. In any case, he also wrote this essay called Civil Disobedience, and that was about slavery. He refused to pay taxes unless the government would guarantee him that none of his tax money would be used to perpetuate slavery. So what happened? He went to prison. So there he is in prison, and his great friend Ralph Waldo Emerson, who was a very famous intellectual at the time, came to pay his bail and get him out. And the story is that Emerson was standing outside the cell, and he said to him, Henry, what are you doing in there? And Henry said, Ralph, what are you doing out there? Now, my point is, Martin Luther King, Gandhi, Nelson Mandela all read this essay called Civil Disobedience by Henry David Thoreau. I'd encourage you to do it as well. It's 20 pages. It's nothing, but it's an essay that changed the course of history. Because what he said was, and I'm paraphrasing, I don't have it in front of me, but the point of the essay is that by refusing to participate in structures of violence and oppression, we undermine them. By fighting them on the same terms or using the same tools, like violence, we perpetuate them further. And this is essential. This is essential. Look beyond the players to the structure of the game.